بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام، ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه. وقال تعالى: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. وقال تعالى: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this wonderful opportunity on this blessed day of Jum'ah to come together and offer our salah and devotion and obedience to Allah. And we pray that He accepts our ibadat, and He strengthens us in carrying out our duties to Allah and our duties to fellow human beings. Alhamdulillah, we all have a good understanding of our responsibilities in terms of ibadah, in terms of worship. From the ibadat, we have salah 5 times daily. Alhamdulillah, we have just completed sawm and the fasting in the month of Ramadan. And we pray Allah accepts our fasting. And we have the giving of zakah, the obligatory charity which has to be passed on to poor Muslims around the world. And we also know of Hajj, the pilgrimage, at least once in a lifetime. But we are reminded that Islam is not simply these ibadat, to pray and fast and give zakah and perform Hajj. Islam is more than just these ibadat. In fact, we are told that every good action of a Muslim, of a believer, is an ibadah, is an act of worship. And so through the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that to smile in the face of a fellow human being is also a sadaqah, is a sunnah. It is an act of ibadah. And the individual is given a virtue, is given a blessing. He receives thawab for smiling in the face of a fellow human being. So in other words, Islam, as it ought to be understood by us, is that complete way of life. Not simply the ibadat, which we, alhamdulillah, try very hard to uphold, but everything that we do falls within that huge, huge boundary of Islam. And everything that we do is Islam. In fact, I would go so far as to say, those of you who are studying here and those of you who are perhaps lecturing here, your intention, inshallah, is to acquire this education and knowledge, to pass this education and knowledge for the betterment of humanity, then that also is ibadah. For that also we are rewarded, provided that our intentions are correct. We not just educate ourselves for financial gain or for status and position, but for the service of mankind, for the service of humanity, that this world becomes a better place for everyone who lives on this globe. That is perhaps a superior type of ibadah. And this is why when we examine the verse of the Quran which I recited before you, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying to him that this day I have perfected your religion for you. It is perfect. There is no room for improvement. Until the day of Qiyamah, there will be no need for any improvements, no renovations, no decorations, nothing needed. It is complete for all time. And Allah says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have poured my blessings and my gifts upon you. And I am happy that the way of life for you and for all of mankind is the way of Islam. Submission to the will of Allah. To surrender. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says that the only acceptable way of life to Allah is the way of surrendering to His wishes, the way of Islam. To submit to the will of Allah. And to give up all other wills, to give up all other wishes and desires, and to put Allah's will first and foremost, before everything else. That is the idea of Islam. That is what Islam requires, that is what Islam teaches. So we have this wonderful opportunity that every second of our life can become an act of obedience to Allah. And how do we go about doing that? How do we achieve that? And subhanAllah, it's incredible how the idea of a Muslim's submission to Allah, submission to God, is so acceptable to those who realize the great powers of the Creator, who have acknowledged the Creator, that they simply submit without questioning. Only this morning I was reading a book written by a member of the Christian clergy, and he has specialized in the area of conversion, of how someone from one particular faith leaves that faith belief, that faith practice, and goes to a different faith practice. So for example, how a Christian would leave Christianity and enter into the fold of Islam and lead a life of submission to Allah. Or a Hindu would leave Hinduism and follow the life of Islam. And from what I read in those few paragraphs, I could gauge that he found it so difficult to accept the fact that Muslims will very readily surrender to the will of Allah without any question. And because he failed to understand this spirit of submission to the Creator, he tried to put his view across as giving up one's freedom of thought, giving up one's freedom of independence of choice and practice, perhaps afraid and not being able to face the challenge of independent thinking and freedom, that some choose to just submit to a particular faith tradition. But this is the beauty about this wonderful way of life that Allah has blessed us with, that we submit to Allah. No matter what stands before us, we submit to Allah. Whether our mind agrees with it or not, whether we understand it or not, whether it's logical or not, no matter what the difficulty might be, we submit. Total submission to Allah. And so we don't stand up and ask, why should we pray five times a day? We don't stand up and ask, why should we fast? We don't stand up and ask, why should we look after our neighbors? That is all part and parcel of Islam, part and parcel of this beautiful way of life. Now, how do we live this life? For that, we have the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was taken on board wholesale by the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum and the Tabi'un and those that followed them. And we also ought to try, inshallah, to bring that Sunnah into our lives, so that Islam is alive within our bodies. When Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, mother of believers, was asked about the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said to them, "Do you not read the Quran?" Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. His character was the Quran. He was a walking, talking Quran, a live Quran, not simply sitting on the shelves, but he lived a life of Quran. You could see the Quran everywhere he turned and he walked. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to him, praising him, that you have got the best of characters. There is no other character that can match yours. You are of the topmost and superior type of character. And that is the one that you and I have to emulate and try to adopt and bring into our lives. Especially in a society which is largely and predominantly non-Muslim. A society that is increasingly, day by day, becoming more secularized. A society in which morality is losing the battle. A society in which materialism is more important than human dignity and human life. In this kind of environment, it becomes even more important for us to actually implement the Sunnah, so that those who have forgotten the status of the human being, the status that Allah has bestowed upon the human being, they come to realize what an error and mistake they are making. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being the highest status above all the creation. The human being takes the first position, yet mankind today has fallen, many of them, even below the level of animals. So it is up to you and I, those who have been guided by Allah, blessed with Islam, blessed with the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to set this example, to show people that you can be very successful in this worldly life whilst submitting 100% to the will of the Creator, living a manner which was shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not have much time, but just to share with you one of the characters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, perhaps you and I will be able to compare our own personal circumstances with this story that I'm going to share with you. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam preached the oneness of Allah, the Makkan community, the people of Makkah, hated it. And they could not believe that there could be a man who would reject all the idols, all those gods, and say that there is only one Allah, there is only one Creator who must be worshipped, and that very man who was from within the community, who was regarded as an honest and trustworthy person, an intelligent individual within the community, was labeled an outcast. He was called mad, a sorcerer, a magician, and all sorts of things. It was during this type of environment and climate when there was one old woman who decided that enough was enough. She could not bear to hear the words that there is only one God, because she believed in hundreds of gods. She could not bear the fact that a human being has come within their community saying that, "I am the messenger of Allah and I come to you with a message that there is one Allah. Submit to that one Allah. She could not bear that. And she decided to pack her bags. And she said, I am going to leave Makkah. She packed up all her luggage and prepared to leave Makkah. Far away from the words of this man called Muhammad. And she picked up her bags and began to struggle out of Makkah. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw her. And this is the akhlaq, the character, the example that you and I have to follow. He walked over to the old woman and he said, dear lady, you are struggling with your luggage. Please let me help you. Where are you going? You seem to be going far away. You will need company. You will need security. You need someone to look after you. Traveling in the desert is dangerous. You might be robbed. You might be killed. Something might happen to you. The woman was very pleased. And she said, yes, your company and your help is most welcome. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked her baggage for her. And they began to walk. They left Makkah behind and they walked a distance. And the woman began to converse with him and said, do you know, young man, why I'm leaving Makkah? It's because of that madman who thinks he's the prophet of Allah, who says that there is only one God, who denies the powers of all the other gods that we have. That man, Muhammad, I'm running away from him. He has led all the people astray. He has twisted people's minds. And she started telling him all the bad things, and perhaps she probably used all the bad words that you could find, that she could find in her dictionary to describe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But not once throughout that journey did he retaliate. Not once did he respond. Not once did he swear back or answer back to that old woman. Put yourselves in that position. You are carrying somebody's heavy load in the heat of the desert, struggling. And that very person who you are helping is criticizing you, is slandering you, is swearing at you, is talking bad about you. What would you and I have done? Drop the bags on the ground, maybe even use one of the bags to clobber a one on the head. That is our weakness. It's a very, very deep story. The more I talk about this, the more I think about it, subhanallah. That is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not one word did he utter. They reached the destination. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put her bags down. The woman said, young man, you have been so kind to me. You've been so nice to me. You've been so good to me. Tell me what is your name. Perhaps I can say a prayer for you to all my gods. At that moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my name is Muhammad. That very Muhammad whom you have been talking bad about. She could not believe her ears. This very person who I have talked so badly about, and yet you have shown such character, such benevolence, and such forgiveness. Truly, a false prophet and a false person could not have been able to achieve what you have achieved. You must indeed be a true prophet of Allah. You must indeed be a true messenger of Allah. And indeed the message that you have come with, that there is only one Allah, must be a true one. I have seen that from your character. And she declared the Shahada. This is the wonderful life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we talk about, that we read about. Let us bring it into our lives. Let us make it alive. Let people around us see what Muslims have to offer to humanity. Next time somebody says something bad to you, see how you fare. Compare yourself to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conducted himself. We are very quick to retaliate. We are very quick to exact revenge. We are very quick to respond and to be provoked into an argument, into the use of foul language and so forth. And that is not what Islam teaches. If we, inshallah, can bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives and show a beautiful character to the people around us, inshallah, there is every hope and every prayer and chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide these lost human beings to this wonderful way of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With these few words I end. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-kareem wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأيها الإخوة الأحبة اختار الله سبحانه وتعالى دين الإسلام لسائر الناس فيقول في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وقال أيضا اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا وقال تعالى في شان حبيبه الكريم حكاية عن أخلاقه وخلقه وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال تعالى فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق فعلينا أيها الأحبة أن نمشي على منهج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونتبع سنته في كل حين في حياتنا حتى نعيش حياة المسلمين كما شاء الله سبحانه وتعالى حين اختار هذا الدين لسائر الناس. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا بما يحب ويرضى. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد. أما بعد، فأيها الأحبة، قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأقرباهم علي وفاطمة، سيدة نساء أهل الجنة. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، رضوان الله على جميع الصحابة. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر من نصر دين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم، واخذل من خذل دين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. عباد الله، رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقيموا الصلاة.